Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. In every organization, meeting room, and classroom, things are done that accidentally create tension, misunderstanding, and emotional responses to what otherwise should just be a call to action. Humans have the best systems for communicating, yet we miscommunicate all of the time. We then drive these weird narratives about motivations in our heads, and we argue until we lose or get our way. So whenever there is a problem, it is only because there is a lack of a process. And when I support others on the continuous improvement journey, I always start out with a slide that reads, "Process doesn't fail people, people fail process." Again, process doesn't fail people, people fail process. I followed up with a question. Why do frozen pizzas burn? You see, people don't always realize that there is a process and that there are processes all around them. Recipes are processes. Following your GPS is a process. And following directions is adhering to a process. Yet, human beings will continually ignore the processes found all around them. Be honest. You've ignored your GPS. Turn left in 750 feet. And then you immediately turn left and hear, "Make a legal U-turn." And then you begin to argue with the GPS. Heck, if I followed the directions on my shampoo bottle, I'd still be in the shower. Rinse, wash, and repeat. You burn frozen pizzas because you ignore the time and temperature directions, and you, by your very nature, tend to question the processes that are tried and true. Why is that? Why can't we just follow the rules? Well, it's because we're curious and have to learn on our own. It is that same inner rebelliousness that gets us into sticky situations and creates conflict. It's the weird human behavior of, "Prove it to me. Show me what's in it for me, and I'll believe it when I see it." It's the mindset that creates conflicts in meetings, classrooms, and groups because one person always wants to go into someone else's lane, and that is where the lack of a process tends to allow people to get into trouble. So there is a process that can help simplify and even reduce or eliminate conflict as a result of everyone's desire to be the decision maker. But before I get into the tool that can bring great clarity, I want to share with you a little more about staying in your lane. While this has become a cliche saying, it is not a bad saying, and as a matter of fact, it's a critical concept to support your sanity and leadership. So many of us want to jump in to solve problems, solution for others, and even go into battles that are not our own. So many times others come to us for advice and we suddenly find ourselves emotionally vested and want to act. But that takes us into other lanes, and in order for us to be our best, we need to minimize the amount of lanes that we have on our life journey. Driving one time in California near Los Angeles, I experienced the anxiety that can be created by too many lanes on the highway. There were six on the 405 I think I was on, and as much as I enjoy a good challenge on the road, I didn't enjoy driving in the game of Frogger. The other day, I was talking with someone who was going on about how they were so upset about how other people always seemed to get what they wanted, how they never seemed to personally win, and how the other people seemed to always move ahead faster than they were. As I was listening, they then began to talk about how others always have more say than them, how unfair it was that the boss was always making decisions, how they needed to be heard, and how no one would show them respect, and that things just seemed to move too slow for them. They stated that it was always unclear whose decision it was, and then they went on to say something about how unfair it was that they never got to make the final decision. As I was listening, I kept thinking about how this conversation reminded me of being in a traffic jam, especially when I'm in a rush, and how I'm always looking to edge up more quickly, always jealous when the lane next to me seems to be moving quicker, and how I try to pass each car one at a time and squeak my way forward. And how much I resent other drivers that won't let me in, and how sometimes I get upset when I see people drive all the way to the front of a closing lane at a fast speed and I'm just sitting there, or how sometimes I do it and irritate other drivers. And as the person in front of me who's mooing when more and more and more, and as she was complaining and acting more and more and more like a cow and less like a buffalo, I blurted out, "You just need to stay in your lane." I was coached a few years ago on the simple idea that you have three lanes in life. Your lane for your life, your lane for serving with others, and the lane others need you in. All other lanes are ones you opt into, and most times you don't even belong there. Let me repeat those lanes for you. Your lane for you in your life, the things you can control about yourself, your happiness, your goals, your diet, your learning, who to love, etc. The second is the one for serving others. Mother, father, brother, sister, daughter, son, teacher, whatever your roles are, leader, etc. And the third is the one others need you in. When you are called to support others, a friend in need, a calling to serve beyond friends and family, professionalism, personal hobbies, all of those different things. That is a three-lane highway that you drive on every day in life. You choose the switch between the lanes and you choose your speed in and out of those lanes. But what happens when you decide to go veering off in other lanes that you don't belong in, and then you end up frustrated, disengaged, and likely in a place you simply don't even belong? But we are humans after all, and sometimes the other lanes look more exciting or adventurous. As a result of going out of our lane, we likely end up in conflict. It is our weird instinct to ignore our GPS and turn too late or early into someone else's lanes. So as a leader, what do we need to do when we have people we serve who tend to go into someone else's lanes? First, recognize the behaviors of those off-roaders. They tend to be pessimistic, cast blame, are frustrated by a lack of control, want control, or even demand that ideas or opportunities are justified to them. Well, whose idea was this? When did I get input in this? How come nobody asked me about it? They have a sense of inequity, and most likely they've created stories in their heads that others are disrespecting them, that they're the people in traffic that turn on their turn signals and come into your lane, forcing you to brake. We don't need people like that, but we have them, and as a result, we need a process. What needs to be done is to create a simple process to support others for staying in their lane, and that means we need to have a set of visuals that allow people to see the lanes ahead of them. So I have two processes for you. The first is for decision-making, and the second to support change. They can be used in every level of every organization and every school from classroom to boardroom. Process number one is to support the empowerment levels of the people you are with. You see, most people are unclear as to what they have the right to make a decision about. What can be done solo? What can be done collaboratively? What needs to be done collaboratively? And what is the exclusive decision of themselves or the quote-unquote boss? So the process is called a decision-making matrix. Here's what you do. You create a template where there is a list on the y-axis of decisions that need to be made. On the top of the document, list the stakeholders that may be part of the decision. So here's an example. If you're a principal of a school, a lot of conflict occurs when decisions are made in isolation and staff learns that no one had a say. Most of the time, that conflict occurs because there is no clear decision-making process, and everyone thinks that every decision should be made by everybody. However, if you pre-establish where and how decisions will be made, publish the process, and adhere to it, you're less likely to burn the pizza, and people will stay in their lanes. Sorry about the battling metaphors there. So, on the top of the list, it says administration, leadership team, grade level, house, department, individual, teachers, PTOs, students, whoever could potentially be part of the decision-making process. Then, on the y-axis, it says things like building, schedule, field trips, policy, curriculum, discipline, budget, etc. In the chart itself, you fill in the boxes wherever applicable, and you clearly illustrate who has the final decision. I've seen these processes go the next step and include where input will be collected so that people in the organization can clearly see where they'll be asked, but not necessarily have the final decision. This is a great iteration to the process to help you with the people who say things like, well, she asked us, but she didn't do anything that we told her, because that's a disengaging statement. But when you, on the front end, share a process to ensure people know where they get to make the decision, it's empowering. One of the greatest benefits is that it creates a very clear line of sight in the lane for those involved. They know what they can decide, and they don't even go to the boss because it's been established that they can make the decisions independently or with another team or collaboratively. And as a result, they make more decisions, they take more risks, and they move quicker. When leaders support a leadership team and no one knows if they are making decisions democratically or if they're making them solo or if the boss is making the decision, there's conflict. There are people baking pizzas at different temperatures and people driving all over the place trying to figure out what lane is theirs as a result. People get frustrated, angry, and resentful. That sounds like burnt pizza. Make a decision-making matrix and reduce the amount of frustration and create clarity. This process can be employed in the classroom as well by showing where students will have choice and voice over the course of the school year on assignments, retakes, books to choose, etc. Everyone likes choice, and the earlier you can communicate that it is negotiable or non-negotiable, the better for your leadership and the culture you serve. The other quick process is called an innovation configuration map. This is another matrix, but instead of demonstrating choice, it demonstrates the journey and allows people to see where they are as they are moving towards an expected outcome or change. If you Google Innovation Configuration Map, you'll find tons of them. Basically, you create a spreadsheet with four or five boxes that are from left to right. As a quick example, if you were to create an innovation configuration matrix for a change for a group of 25 people that needed to all be engaged in something, it would read like this. In the first box, it would say 1 to 3 people engaged. In the second box, it would say 4 to 7 people engaged. In the third box, it would say 8 to 12 people engaged. And the fourth box, it would say 13 to 20 people engaged. And in the last box, it should show all engaged. And at the top, it would say arrived. It would be a clear map of what is expected, and people would see the journey and the expectations. This is a super simple example, and you can see what the lanes look like for everyone. Here's the deal. People are going to drive all over the place if they're allowed to do so. Why wouldn't they get into other people's business? Why wouldn't they get upset that they didn't have choice? Why wouldn't they resent the decision maker? I would be fired up, and so would you if you were not given a clear understanding of how to be engaged and the boundaries of their own decisions. In the three lanes of life, some of us veer right into the ditch to prove a point, and that's not necessary. A buffalo leader creates the conditions for people to charge into the storm, and they also create the processes to avoid storms entirely. You can't burn a pizza if you follow the directions, and you'll never get lost if you trust your instruments. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe your three lanes and reflect on times you've chosen to go off-road. List areas that could benefit others by using a decision-making matrix. Describe one project that would benefit from an innovation configuration map. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, as always, thank you for listening, and please remember to follow us on the Smart Thinking Facebook page or on Twitter. Next week, I'm introducing another tool for you to use, Theo's Thursday 3. I think that's what I'm calling it, or I think maybe it's Theo's 3 on Thursday. I don't know. One thing you should be reading, one thing you should be listening to, and one thing you should be watching. The three elements of leadership to help fuel you weekly. It'll be on Twitter and Facebook for you to grow as a leader and then help you fuel your inner optimistic buffalo. Of course, thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music. Lastly, this episode was sparked not only by the coaching I was doing, but an old memory of the first time I heard "Stay in Your Lane." It occurred when I was seeking advice from an old friend about a pickle I had found myself in. You see, I have very high emotional intelligence. At least that's what my good friend Valley always says. And as a result, I have uncharacteristic empathy for others. When others I know or care about are in trouble, I tend to steer myself into their lanes, and it can sometimes cause some problems for me. Well, the instance where I was first hearing "stay in your lane" was when I was on the phone with a friend and I was really upset with a decision another leader had made in a place I didn't even work. And frankly, I had no ownership and really no business worrying about it. I just felt for the people involved in the decision and was feeling a pull to get involved. So after I spent 20 plus minutes explaining and trying to justify my need to jump to action in a place I had no business, my friend Jim said, "Teddy, maybe you should just stay in your lane." After a second to process what Jim had said, I felt like a boxer who had smelling salts put under his nose. Immediate clarity for me. Why was I putting so much energy into someone else's lane? I have my three lanes to drive in, and they're already really long and wide. Why would I take on another? So this week, when you find yourself in a situation that needs clarity or is beyond you, remember, stay in your lane. Make a process to guide yourself and others, and focus on what you can control. Buffalo leaders don't run all the time. They run into storms and head to an outcome that has sunshine. They don't run sideways. So this week, stay in your lane. Drive as fast as you want and charge as fast as you want. Support others and create processes to ensure others don't feel the need to cut you off on your leadership journey. Any lane, there is a barber showing photographs.